Hi, welcome to The Sync Show. I'm Neha, and this is a show where I talk about all things artistic swimming. Before we get started, I want to say I'm sorry I did not post an episode 2 weeks ago because things have been really hectic, but I will try my best to keep posting every 2 weeks. Also, I have a bit of a cold, so I'm sorry if my voice sounds a little off in the beginning and end of today's episode. Now, without further ado, let's get started. So today I have another special guest, Kelly. Kelly is my team's coach, and I've known her since I was 8, and she is honestly the only reason I've gotten anywhere in the sport. So Kelly swam for over 11 years at the provincial, national, and international levels, and she's also been coaching for over 20 years. I'm super excited to have her on the podcast today, so let's get to it. I'm here now with Kelly.
Hi.
So before we start with the questions, can you quickly explain like your synchro career, like with swimming and coaching?
Yeah, I definitely can. So I started swimming, I guess, when I was pretty young, but it seems like that everyone kind of starts around the same age, about 8 years old. And I swam all the way up until university. And at that time, I took a break and finished off my education. And then I started coaching. Actually, in my last year of university, I went and started coaching. And have continued coaching ever since.
Cool. Okay, so let's get started with the questions. So first question, what's the biggest competition you've coached at?
Yeah, and that was one of the hardest questions when I saw that one, because biggest, it depends what you mean by biggest. If you're talking people, then probably the competitions that I've been in that were the largest as far as competitors go, would have been Canadian nationals, because sometimes they would be like over 200 competitors in like the figure event, and then however that translates into routines. But if you're talking about a large competition in general, Canada Games was probably the largest because it's multi-sport and it's across Canada. And then also international competitions, because probably the largest international competition I've coached at would be one of the U.S. Open. Probably the one in Las Vegas was the larger one that I went to.
Fancy. I was more thinking like, I don't even know how to word it, but like the biggest, biggest would be like Olympics, you know, and then like the smallest would be like a regional competition, okay. Like that kind of thing.
You're talking a little bit more like prestige, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tough one too. I don't know. It still falls in one of those categories. I think that whenever we leave our own country, it feels like a bigger event. So I would probably say one of the U.S. Opens then.
Cool. Okay. Number two, what is your favorite and least favorite part of practice as a coach?
As a coach, it has such a different meaning, doesn't it, compared to if you're answering as a swimmer?
Yeah.
It totally does. I would probably say the best part of practice is definitely when swimmers achieve a skill they've been working on, and they're all of a sudden like, whoa, that's what it feels like, or all of a sudden their worst skill becomes one of their favorite skills. Moments like that can be kind of significant. And I think probably my least favorite part about practices, I don't think there's any one specific thing. I think what becomes frustrating about them is when we have to be so goal-driven because we've got a deadline coming. So for example, you're getting ready for a very specific event or a meet. Sometimes you don't feel like you can have as much variation in practice, or sometimes you don't feel like you can be as creative because you know what you have to achieve and your time is limited. And I think it kind of takes away a little bit of the, strange enough, the enjoyment in coaching, because then I think a lot of times the swimmers start to feel like practices become a little bit mundane, and their responses to that make it also unsatisfying to coach.
Okay, number three. Are you ever nervous before or during a competition swim?
Yes, of course. I know swimmers don't believe that, but definitely not all, like sometimes more than other times. My best story for that, it happened actually not very long ago. Like sometimes I find it hard to watch swimmers swim because you don't know what's going to happen and it makes you very nervous. My nervousness starts much closer to the swim, I think, than what the swimmers experience because they are a bit more of a gradual buildup. I think I'm pretty much even keeled and then it hits all of a sudden. But, you know, with the big, you know, Fitbit phase, all the athletic watches and that, I had been using one quite a bit several years ago. And when I went home and downloaded the information off my Fitbit and was looking at it, it was during a competition. And let's just say my team, maybe they swim around 7 p.m. or something like that. And teams events are, you know, for an individual routine swim, somewhere in that zone of 4 minutes. Well, if you looked at my watch and downloading my heart rate, it was like even at like 7:01, whoosh, went flying up for pretty much exactly 4 minutes. And then went boom, right back down into the basement to the same level it was before they swam. So right in there, you just saw it peak while they were swimming.
Was it a good swim?
I honestly, I don't even really remember. It's and right now I couldn't even tell you what routine it was specifically. If I thought hard enough about it, I might be able to remember, but it was, you know, you experience these things. This is just data showing it very clearly that, you know, at exactly that time, your heart rate skyrocketed for, like, I wasn't exercising. I was at a competition, just watching an event. So yeah, obviously, I experience a lot during swims.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Next, what are three characteristics that a swimmer like needs to have in order to succeed in synchro?
I thought of two that I was really, really sure about. I don't know if I have a third. Like, there's so many different things. But I think love of sport and competition is a big one, because if you don't love what you're doing, then sooner or later you don't want to do it anymore. And in addition to that, also enjoyment of competition, because you can really enjoy a sport but not enjoy competing it. So if you have those things, it can make a big difference for you. I also think resilience is big, because nobody improves at a steady rate. Nobody sees results at a constant pace. So that ability to handle the highs of doing really well, and then the lows that come, you know, sporadically through the years of training and competing. Like, if you can't handle that fluctuation, then again, it's going to be hard to really enjoy the sport and enjoy what you're doing. And then I think your time in the sport will be more limited. So those two things, I think, make a big, big difference. And the other one I was toying with a bit was acceptance, but I think it kind of falls a bit under resilience. Like, you know, if something's happening that, I don't know, you're just not dealing well with, like, at some point you have to accept it to move on. And if you have a difficult time accepting it, then I think, again, that's a barrier to continuing on in your sport. So, yeah, that was kind of the third one. I just thought maybe it was a bit too similar to resilience.
Yeah, those are good. And then what is one thing you wish all your swimmers understood, like every swimmer you've ever coached?
I would say for them to understand that they're in control of the outcome. So way more than what I think they often realize. So sure, the coach plans the practice and the competitions are set, but really how you approach the practice, how you set your goals, how you train, how you compete, how you get ready to compete, all those things are completely within your own control. And so whereas definitely there's some things that you are not putting your hands right into, you have so much more control than I think what a lot of athletes actually realize.
Okay. Biggest piece of advice to a new coach?
That's tough. I'm pretty old. What would I tell someone who's like, we're just starting? This, probably the biggest thing would be to take care of themselves and accept help when it comes to them. I think a lot of younger coaches feel like they have to do everything themselves. The ego gets a bit in the way. They feel like it could possibly be, I guess, detrimental to take help from people. They feel like they have to do everything themselves. Otherwise, they don't look as good or aren't as strong of a coach. So definitely accepting help and then watching out for, you know, we worry about athletes and being stressed and not getting enough sleep. And I don't think we always worry about that when it comes to coaching.
Nice. What was the biggest shock, like, when you switched from swimming to coaching? Like, what was one thing you didn't expect?
I would say the amount of stress involved. I think swimmers watch coaches, and probably when I was watching my coach, I'm like, oh, yeah, anyone can do that. No problem. And then when you're actually out there doing it yourself, like, you end up experiencing stress in many different ways, like being prepared, working with the athletes, going to the competitions, working with the parents. It all kind of, it's a different side of the sport, and there's a lot more stress involved than I think someone necessarily realizes before they do it.
If you could choose one thing for your whole team to be at, it doesn't necessarily have to be our team, what would it be?
Yeah, this was tough too, because I don't know, because as soon as I thought about one thing, my thinking was, well, this would be better, or that would be good. So the things that I came up with, I think flexibility is an easy go-to, because it takes time. If you're not naturally good at it, you have to be very persistent, and then you can even still improve it beyond that. But I thought that was too easy, and I'm like, would that really be that great? Like, a whole team of flexible people, it'd be cool. You could do some neat choreography, some cool highlights maybe. But then I was like, maybe it needs to be more individual, because someone who's good in flexibility might be like, well, that's not fair. I'm already good at that. I'm not getting anything out of this. So then I thought it would be cool if everyone could just be stronger at their weakness. And then I thought that was too general too.
Cheating the system.
Yeah. So my final thought was, it'd be kind of cool if everyone had a natural ability. And then all that mattered was how much effort you put in. Because there's a total difference, right? Someone who has a natural ability that tries really hard can, you know, have a certain amount of success. Someone who tries really, really hard but has no natural ability still might succeed, but it's probably going to be a lot more difficult for them. So if everyone kind of had that even playing field of having a really high level of natural ability in our sport, so that it was completely in their control from that perspective, like, if I put my effort in and I try hard, I'll be amazing at this. That would be a neat thing.
That would be cool. I wish that was a thing. What was one thing that inspired you to become a coach?
Yeah, again, that was a long time ago. So I'm trying to, like, think back, pull those little things out of my mind. What was it? Probably in the end, what it was is sport. It gave me a lot of opportunities, I guess, that I probably wouldn't have had if I wasn't involved in artistic swimming or synchronized swimming at that point. So ultimately, it was probably that ability to coach and provide that for other people, right? So, because obviously no coaches, there'd probably be no teams. So
self-coached teams.
And that does happen. It's just a little bit harder.
The Tesla of synchro. Last question about this. What is the most rewarding part of coaching?
Most rewarding part of coaching. I think that would be similar to the what I said about the favorite part of practice. It would be seeing people achieve their goals and have their best swims and being excited about what they're doing. So yeah, you know, when you come off that amazing competition swim and it's just that natural high and everybody's so excited, that's probably the most rewarding part for sure.
Okay, so like moving on, what are three things that you always have in your bag with you at practice? I think I know what one of them is.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have a tapper almost all the time. Got to be able to tap. Even though I don't like to tap, I like to have the ability to. And then I always have my my nose clip lost and found. All right? So that, you know, take one, give one, that type of idea, so that no one's ever without a nose clip. I probably should go through that. There's some broken ones that I probably need to get rid of. And then the other thing, what's the other thing that I always have? Oh, my planner, of course, right? My lesson plan book. But I usually leave that at the pool at least two or three times a year. So there's always a couple panic days where it's not in my bag and I get really concerned. I'm like, oh no, where is it? Am I going to be able to find it again? What am I going to do if I lose an entire year's worth of planning? Yikes. But yeah, at least two or three times a year, it gets left somewhere.
I was thinking also your 18,000 water bottles.
Only two. Only two. Sometimes three. But, you know, I average, what, a water bottle for every 2 hours. So it depends how long practice is.
Never less than one.
No, well, when I forget them, it's a very sad day. Those are always the days where you get that tickle in your throat and you're like trying to talk. You're like, and you've got no water to be found. You're like, oh no.
I mean,
and there's still 2 hours left.
Drink the pool, but don't recommend it.
And water fountains always taste so gross. Well, in the old pools they do. Nowadays, like the ones where you fill your water bottle up, they're actually much better. So.
Okay, the last few questions are about when you were a swimmer. So first one, what is the biggest competition you swam at? But it's like the same definition of biggest as before.
Yeah, it's still a tough question, just like before. I think probably for me, what had the most prestige would have been the first international competition I went to. So that would be, it was in Cuba. Was it the Cuban Open? I don't know if I can remember the name. But for me, it had the biggest prestige because it's the first time that I went international. Yeah, the Luano Cup, maybe, in Italy. Our team went there 1 year, so that was pretty exciting. Tough questions. I don't really have an answer.
That sounds fancy. Going to Italy? That's so cool. What clubs did you swim for when you were swimming?
Okay, so I swam at three different clubs, but one was actually the same one. So I started at a club called Scarborough Leaside, which later became Toronto Synchro. And then I went to the Etobicoke Olympium, swam there for 2, maybe 3 years, and then went back to what was then Toronto Synchro. Yeah.
Cool. What was your favorite event to swim, like team or duet or solo?
My favorite was duet. I found it to be, it was a more personal experience. So, you know, sharing it with your duet partner, also creating the routine, practicing together, being in the competition together. And I think just because it's a little bit more one-on-one, like a team, you know, it's hard to be that involved with seven different swimmers. Like you're still a team, but not in the same way as when you're a team with just one other person. So yeah, duet was always my favorite.
What do you prefer, swimming or coaching?
I would probably say coaching. I think that's because I believe myself to be a better coach than I was a swimmer. But it's a really different experience. So coaching, if I coached, well, I don't know if you would ever have an 8-year-old coach, but if you were a coach in that time frame of your life, I think it would be a very different experience than coaching as an adult. And the same thing, I think, swimming as an adult would be very different than swimming when you were younger? So that would be an interesting question for a master swimmer, since I don't participate in that, to see, you know, there are definitely a few more master swimmers now that definitely swam when they were younger and are still swimming now or have started up again, to see what, how they feel about that. That would be kind of an interesting question for them.
This one might be hard, but what's the biggest change between when you swam and now? Like in the sport?
Oh, in the sport?
Yeah.
Oh, I read that question differently. Okay, that's a good one. Well, right now, all the rule changes, right?
Well, yeah.
So everything's smaller, faster, higher than when I swam, I guess you could say. So there weren't a lot of power moves. Like there was egg beater boosting and there was thrusting, but there weren't as many power moves, or the speed of movement wasn't quite the same. Highlights were just getting started. So it definitely way more physical, I guess, if that makes any sense. Like it was physical then, don't get me wrong, it was very challenging, but it's a different type of physicality for sure.
Okay, last question. What do you consider to have been the hardest thing about swimming for you?
Yeah, that definitely would have fallen under the category of confidence and self-doubt, right? So practicing was challenging for sure, because practices are just hard, but putting what you're able to do into practice at competition was always difficult, because in the back of my mind, I think I questioned a lot. I wasn't sure if I could do well. I wasn't sure if I deserved to do well. And I think I also wondered if people wanted me to do well. And that's a tough one, because, you know, putting thoughts into other people's minds and trying to deal with it in your own, you can't really do that. So it's definitely was a barrier back then, worrying about what other people think.
All right, that's all the questions for today. Thanks, Kelly, for being in the episode. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. I had a lot of fun talking to Kelly today. As always, make sure to let me know what you want to see in future episodes using the link in the description. I'll see you next time. Bye.